listen. That's what Kurt Vonnegut tells readers to do in one of the opening pages of Slaughterhouse-Five. Listen, he writes, followed by a colon. Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time. And with this sentence, the author segues from one part of the book, introductory first-person stuff, to the narrative. It's an important moment, and he wants you to feel its weight. The story begins now, he's telling you, and it comes galloping out of the gate. So hold on tight and pay attention. One of the things that makes good writers stand out is their ability to emphasize carefully selected words and ideas. And it seems to me that this really is more of an art than a science. It's like instinct, knowing how to grab the reader right when he most needs to be grabbed. But by paying attention to how good writers create emphasis, we can all learn a little about the techniques that underscore the words and ideas that we most want underscored. One way writers create emphasis is by varying sentence length. Imagine a couple of medium-length sentences in a crime novel, like, "There was light seeping from under the door and loud footsteps coming from behind it. I was groggy, just coming out of my haze, and tried the door handle, desperately hoping it would turn. Fat chance." That two-word sentence fragment, "fat chance," stands out after the other two sentences, which, we can assume, is exactly what the writer wanted. It emphasizes the dangers and challenges facing the protagonist, which, of course, is what fiction is all about. Another tool for creating emphasis is what's called parallelism, lining up groups of similarly structured clauses or sentences in a row so that they create a sort of drumbeat. I knew the door was locked. I knew Barbara was out there. And I knew that, if I didn't get to her soon, I was a dead man. For these parallelisms, three is often the magic number. For whatever reason, lists of three things tend to affect the brain in ways that groups of two or four often cannot. Like, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets. This even has a name. It's called the rule of three. Of course, twos and fours are still on the table. Consider this sentence by Dorothy Parker. Scratch a lover and find a foe. Here, the emphasis comes from the meter of the sentence. Two clauses, so perfectly balanced, show a powerful contrast between the opposite ideas of lover and foe. Another tool writers use to create emphasis is repetition. For example, here's a sentence by Joan Didion. There is something uneasy in the Los Angeles air this afternoon. Some unnatural stillness. Some tension. The two noun phrases tacked on the end, some unnatural stillness and some tension, are just reworded forms of something already mentioned. That something uneasy in the Los Angeles air. Yet by repeating this in slightly different terms, the writer forces you to pay attention to the idea. You should also note that the first and especially last words in a sentence tend to have the most oomph. In fact, if you pay attention to comedy, you'll see that the most surprising word, the one there to get the laughs, comes at the end of the joke, not in the middle. Taking this idea a step further by tinkering with regular sentence structure can be another way to create emphasis. Think of how Yoda spoke in the Star Wars movies, saying things like, "A great warrior you will be," instead of, "You will be a great warrior." This gets your attention because it's so unusual, while at the same time giving the most important idea top billing in the sentence. Punctuation can be used to create emphasis too. Dashes, colons, exclamation points, they can all give an idea extra punch. But a warning, this can come off like a crutch, and in my experience, novice writers rely on these punctuation marks a lot more than professionals do. So use punctuation for emphasis sparingly. On top of all these techniques, there's an endless number you can innovate for yourself, as Kurt Vonnegut did with his trademark, Listen. But of course, the most basic way to create emphasis is by writing good, efficient sentences. Sentences that use tangible subjects and action-oriented verbs. Sentences that are in the active voice. And sentences that aren't weighed down with a lot of unnecessary words and information. When all else fails, rely on the basics of good sentence structure to emphasize what you most want to say.